I get a little nervous when they get towards move up Sunday. Just saying. Well, it's good to be back. We're having a blast. Had a great conference there in Missouri, and boy, God stirred hearts, and it really excited me because there was probably just about as many on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday as there was on Sunday. Very unusual for many of these churches. But it was really excited to see some of my old church members that were there in that church, and just really a blessing. Do pray for the folks over there. Boy, I tell you, they're having a time. And my prayer is that God will speak to some of their hearts and they'll go back for good. Not that I'm trying to get rid of them, but I just, you know, we need to pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's one of the things that happens many times on a mission trip. And I'm really praying that God will do something in their hearts. I'm very envious about them being there, and I can't be there, but God knows, and we're just going to go on. Is there a key to life? Some people may say, well, no, there's not really a key to life. Yes, there is. And I want to talk about that this morning. It's not world peace. It's not money. It's not talent or education. It's not political races and stuff like this. The heart is the key to life. The heart is the key to life. Our problem's not cholesterol. All of us got some. Not high blood pressure, and some have high blood pressure and blocked arteries and stuff like that. That's not the heart I'm talking about. The greatest thing, or the key to life, as I see it through my studies, is the heart. It'll solve almost every problem that there is. And I'd like you to turn in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll read a verse there, and then we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 22. And we'll read a verse there as well, and then we'll go ahead and get into this this morning. Is there a key to life? 1 Samuel chapter 16, look in verse number 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. This morning, the Lord is looking at your heart. Now, all we can see is the outward. We see the appearance, the outward appearance. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he said, you judge people by their fruit. By their fruit you shall know them. And so we do. We look on the outward appearance, but no man knows the heart except you and God. And this morning, God, I believe, is looking at our hearts. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37, very familiar, but many times we just read past it. So Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, say it with me, with all thy heart. How are we supposed to love God? With all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all thy mind. And the question this morning is, do we? Do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart? This is not a suggestion, this is a command. So may I ask you right now, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Whether it's missions, whether it's revival, whether it's life, marriage, parent-child relationship, where is your heart? Because the heart is the key. May we pray this morning and we'll get into the message. Father, I pray this morning that you would help each one of us, beginning with me, to look deep and ask ourselves, really, truly, where is my heart? You commanded us to love you with all of our heart. Help us to answer that question. And then, Lord, to do something about it, that we would respond in the way that pleases you. Father, have your way in each one of our hearts this morning. Those that are here that do not know Christ as Savior, that they might really see where their heart is and that they might give their heart to you and be saved today. And those that are saved, they are truly Christians, born again. Yet their heart is not with you. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be honest with ourselves and investigate our hearts this morning as we allow you to work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The heart is the key to life. It is the key to our relationship with our Father. And we call God our Father, but many people have a father but don't have a relationship with him. I hear many times that sons or daughters have not spoken to their fathers for years. And how sad that is. But it's the same thing with Christians. We were saved, but God doesn't have our heart. And that's what he wants. David told Solomon in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 26, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways." Many people are the children of God, but God does not necessarily have their heart. This morning, would you ask yourself, when did God get your heart? I'm not talking about salvation. That's a whole different issue. But does God have your heart right now? A heart is in the Christian relationship is like a marriage. We come to the altar, we stand before the pastor, and we commit our love, our devotion, our life to our mate. But sad to say, a couple years down the line, we take back our heart. You say, no, that's what they... No, no. God says, love your enemies. You can love your enemies. You can love that person that you're not getting along with. You took your heart back. They had it, and you were sincere, but now you've taken it back, and they no longer have your heart. And I think that's the way it is with many Christians. Oh, at one point when we got saved, we gave God our heart. Boy, I mean, that, we made all kinds of promises. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to be in church. We're going to pray. We're going to do all these things. We're going to witness. We're going to everything. But then somewhere along the line, we've taken back our heart. Who has your heart? You young people, listen to me. That boy or that girl does not and is not supposed to have your heart. You give your heart to God and your parents. They're the ones that are supposed to have your heart. I can remember when Keith came to me and he said, Dad, you have my heart. I can remember a couple years later, Matthew coming to me and saying, Dad, I want you to have my heart. Your pastor came to me and said, Dad, I want you to have my heart. And then my little girl, she said, Daddy, I want you to have my heart. And I will not go with Mary, tell anybody I love them until you give me permission. And all four of them, when the time was right, I said, oh yeah. You see, it was my heart to give. They gave their heart to me, and I said, okay, now you can give it to them. You got no business giving your heart to anybody until your parents say it's okay. We have taken back our heart. Well, we have a hobby, and the first thing that happens is the hobby is on Sunday, and we can't go to God's house because of our hobby. I don't care if it's football, baseball, basketball, rodeo, hunting, anything. You know what we're doing? We are teaching our children that that is more important than God. And that is where my heart is. Now listen, I am not a fan of dress shopping. I've not even tried one on. Ain't gonna. But I remember, I used to have longer hair, but I remember when my kids were growing up, Alicia, she would come there and she'd bring out this box, and she had curlers and she had clips and bobby pins or whatever they are. She had all bows and she, you talk about, it looked like I had an afro. I mean, just all over everywhere. And I let her do it. Why? Because she had my heart. I don't like go shopping so much. But when my wife says, let's go shopping, I get in the car and I go shopping. You know why? Because she has my heart. When God says it's time for church or Sunday school or Sunday night or Wednesday night or whatever it is, I'm going to be there. You know why? He's got my heart. God don't have some of your heart. You say, how do you know? Because you made no plans at all to be back in God's house tonight. He's not in your thoughts. You got something better to do. What? That's more important? Because it has your heart. You have no intention of coming back tonight. You have no intention to come on Wednesday night. Now, I understand some people have to work. But that's not the case in most Christians. The problem is we got saved, but somewhere along the line, we took back our heart. And the heart is the key to our relationship with God. If Alicia comes and said, I'm going to put some stuff in your hair, and I said, get away from me. I ain't doing it. What do you think that'd make her feel like? If Sherry said, I need to go shopping, can you go with me? And I said, are you out of your ever-loving mind? Are we going to Lowe's or what? And I do this over and over. What do you think that tells her? I don't have her heart. My dad set the stage. He said, we was in a rodeo. My uncle had his own indoor rodeo arena about a quarter of a mile away from us, had thoroughbreds and about 100 quarter horses. I mean, big stuff. His hired hand was a state champion bulldogger, and we rodeoed year round. People come in from St. Louis and Denver and all that year round. Rodeo was like our life. We loved it. And come Sunday, and they was having a rodeo. And my cousin said, you coming with us to the rodeo? And I wanted to go. Why? Because rodeo had my heart. My daddy said, you ain't going. Why? Because he knew that that's not where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in the house of God. He said, now later, That's fine. He said, you're not going and miss church. My daddy was no hard farmer, and if the cattle was out, they got to get put back in, but we'll get them after church. Why? Who's got his heart? I wonder. Now, look deep. Who has your heart? It's the key to our relationship with God. I remember over in Rota, Spain in the military, I'd just been saved a few months, and a preacher preached a message called Lovest Thou Me More Than These. And I remember coming around the corner of that altar, and I was over there, and I got on my face, and I gave my wife to God. I gave my children to God. I gave my career to God. I gave everything I had, my car, my money, my everything. I gave it to God. I gave my heart to God. And you know what? He took it. Took my career, took my kids, took my wife, took everything. And I've never regretted that decision. When did you give your heart to God? Did you ever? And just like all of us, me included, there's times when I've pulled my heart back from God and I got my heart stuck on other things. That's what revival is all about. When we realize we're away from God and we need to come back and give our heart back to God. When is the last time you gave your heart to God? And who has it now? The Bible says in 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because, he says, As he is, so are we in this world. What he likes, I like. What he hates, I hate. Where he is, that's where I want to be. It's just like when you fell in love with your wife or your husband. I mean, you just want to be there. You know, it might be working or something like that. She might be working over here. You might be, but you're in the same building. Amen. I mean, you'd do anything you could to just get over there and just say hi. There's church tonight. God's going to be here. Let me ask you something. Where do you think God's heart is going to be tonight? Where do you think God's heart's going to be on Wednesday night? Where do you think God's heart was during Sunday school? He wasn't important enough for you to come? It was too much trouble? The boss tells you to go do something and whatever time of the day, you jump. Because your work has your heart. Does God have our heart? God says, we're to love like he loved. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If it's sacrifice to you to come, then sacrifice. Why? Because that's the love, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of Jesus Christ. The heart is not just the key to the relationship with the Father. The heart is the key to accepted worship. I see people come in all the time. We watch people. By the time I'm finished, I've made eye contact with every one of you. I know who's sleeping, who's not. And I know people, it's difficult. And you've had a rough night. When you get old, I mean, you have some sleepless nights. Health. And I know it's hard sometimes to keep awake in church. But if he has our heart, we're going to make that extra effort. We're going to try our level best. The heart's the key to accepted worship. Listen to it in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. What are they doing? They're worshiping God. They're coming to church. They're in the service. They're listening. They're there. They're even speaking. They may be singing. They may be hearing bells in the... But notice how he finishes this. But their heart is far from me. Did God have your heart when you come into this building? Is it just another Sunday? Is it just something you're supposed to do? You just show up and you're fighting with the kids and the dogs and everybody and the wife and the husband and all the way here and talking, just despondent and everything. But you get out of the car and you put on the smiley face and you come in and I'm here. Don't sing. Don't worship him. Don't praise God. I'm here. Listen to what he says. He said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We prove where our heart is by our actions. We prove where our heart is. People attempt to worship God and serve God, but their heart is not in it. We need to have the heart of God. Before we ever come, we need to take that time and prepare our heart and say, oh God, you've got my heart. Lord, I want to worship you this morning so that it's not just with your lips, it's coming from the heart as we worship our God. There's heartless Christians. They don't witness. They don't tithe. They don't study the Bible. They live like the world Monday through Saturday, and then they come to church and do their duty. God doesn't have their heart. We need revival. The heart is also the key to salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what the greatest difficulty is in conversion? The heart. I can manipulate, I can bring somebody to the point that they will with their mouth pray a prayer and confess Christ. And they're just as lost as when we started. Why? Their heart's not in it. I got them to do something, but their heart was not there. For years, Independent Baptists, they run people through the plan of salvation and got professions, but they didn't even know who Jesus was. I remember out in California, my wife was out soul winning with some ladies, and they met some three teenagers on the street corner. They was going to cross the street, and they met three teenagers, and they was cutting up, and the preacher's wife started giving them the supposedly the gospel, run through just a few verses real fast and say, you want to get saved, don't you? And you don't want to go to hell, do you? Okay, let's pray. And she prayed a prayer and they come back and said, now I've got three more. They was laughing at her the whole time she was praying. They didn't mean what they said. Their heart was not in it. I deal with people all the time and I hear people say, well, yeah, I'm a sinner, sure. But, you know, I've done some bad things. Sorry. But that's about as far as it goes. They're not convinced. Their heart hasn't changed. When you come face to face with hell, now think with me. You're dangling, your car has hit the bridge and flipped over, and a power line has got a hold of the wheel or something, and you're dangling and you're holding on to this thing and you're ready to drop down into the cavern and you're gonna die. People say, well, I don't know how to pray. Seriously? When you come face to face with death, you're not going to cry out and say, help me! Help me! Somebody help me! You don't have any problem then, do you? Well, what's the problem? When we deal with salvation, we don't want to offend people. We don't want them to feel real bad about them. Look, you're going to hell. You're going to burn in the lake of fire forever. Your family members, you're going to look upon the carcasses of them in Isaiah 66, and it says it shall be an abhorring to all flesh. You're going to see them burning in hell. We don't want to offend them. And we let them die and go to hell day after day. Why? He doesn't have our heart. We're more concerned about our feelings, and we don't want them to think bad about us. No, no. When you come face to face with a devil's hell and you know you're going to go to hell because you're a wicked sinner and your sins are sending you to hell, you're not going to have a problem praying. When you realize Jesus Christ is the only way that you can get to heaven and escape the hell, you're going to cry out and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh God, forgive me, save me, I'm going to die. You're going to cry out and ask for help to the only place that can help you, and that's Jesus Christ. Salvation is a belief and a willful submission of our heart to God, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. Why'd you get saved? Or did you get saved? Did you just make a profession? Or did you seriously realize you were going to die and go to hell? And rightly so. And cry out to a holy, righteous God and say, oh God, save me. I can't do anything to save myself. Nobody else can save me. I need you to save my wretched soul. Heart belief causes real action. It causes and brings about a change in a person's life. When I got saved as an old drunk, I didn't keep going to the bar. I didn't keep peeling the paint off the wall with my words. God changed my life. And God will change yours too. The greatest difficulty after conversion is keeping the heart. When people start taking their heart back, we've got to keep the heart. Listen to what he said, Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. We have got to keep our hearts close to God. We have to have his heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, not half-hearted. That's what Saul did. But all thine heart. The heart's the key to everything. It's the key to everything. Matthew 23 and verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. It's a command. It's not a request. It is a command. God does not have all of our heart, then we must give it to him. That's a command. So Christian, who has your heart? Who has your heart? I want God to have all my heart, don't you? I believe we do. Then he says, my son, give me thine heart. You need to do it. I want to love God with all my heart. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? I believe we want to, but because of pride, we will stand back and we will, well, I'll take care of it when I get home. No, you won't. How many times have you said that in church? And you don't. You go home, you go right on with your life, you forget about what's been said, you forget about all the message and everything, and we don't make those decisions. God says, I want your heart. So what steps have you taken? What steps have you taken to guard your heart so that you can be a person after God's heart like David? You got to be honest. You've got to be honest. Listen to me. If you're here this morning, we love you. We really do. That's why we're doing all this. That's why we have services. That's why we have soul winning. That's why we have tracks and all of this. That's why we go to the mission field. That's how we, all the things we do over there. That's why, because just like you, people are going to die without Jesus Christ. And if they die without Jesus Christ, they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. We love you. We're not trying to make you feel bad, We're trying to help you get to understand that without Christ, there is no hope for you. But if you will put yourself, if you'll be honest with yourself and say, I am separated from a holy God, and I need to be saved. I'm going to die without Christ in my sin. And I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've got to be honest with yourself. You say, well, I'm not going to be honest with myself. That's your choice. You know what? That's your choice. If you want to die and go to hell, that's your decision. And you will. But we do everything in our power to help you understand the gospel and your need for Jesus Christ. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Well, I'm afraid to go forward. You've not seen yourself falling into hell yet. I remember over in Vietnam when I was on in my Iraq, and I'm laying there, and I literally am picturing myself falling into hell. And I didn't know what to do about it. And I went down to the chaplain and said, sir, I don't know if I've committed an unpardonable sin or what I've done, but my life is a mess. And he looked across the desk at me and he said, you're homesick. I wasn't homesick. I was lost. And he didn't have enough brains or spiritual discernment to understand that. And God sent me all the way over to Spain from Vietnam. And a little old missionary by the name of Eddie Woodfield started a church, Bethel Baptist Church in Rota, Spain. An old drunk buddy of mine had got saved and talked me into going out to church, and I got out there, and for the first time in my life, I remember hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I put my faith and trust in him, and he saved me, and he changed my life. And I want that for you. I want you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you died today, you'd be in heaven with the Lord Jesus. And you can know that. I say, how do you know that? He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know. But if you don't, God help you. If you're a Christian, you're going to have to read and study the Word of God to find out what his heart is. Where is his heart? It doesn't take long to find out his heart's in the house of God. His whole plan in the New Testament is the church. And when you make light of the church, there's a spiritual problem. Need to be faithful, need to pray specifically, need to get back into that relationship with God. Let me ask you, and we'll close. Who has your heart? Seriously. Who has your heart? It's easy to say, oh, God has my heart. Where are you going to be tonight? Where are you going to be on Wednesday? I don't care if the Chiefs are playing. They don't have my heart. I'm loyal to my team, but they don't have my heart. He's got my heart. Father, having a right heart will solve the problems problems in marriage, problems in family, problems in church, problems in life. Lord, I pray that every person, from the youngest to the oldest, would truly look deep into their hearts this morning and be honest and ask the question, who has my heart? Father, help us all to have the heart of God, to love you with all of our heart. There may be some here this morning, Lord, that need salvation. I pray, God, you'd convict them, and that they might be honest with themselves and realize that they have no hope outside of Jesus Christ, and that they might come and give you their heart. Lord, for Christians, they've taken back their hearts, and that's why church is just an on and off thing. I can come when I want to. Just, well, you know, if somebody shows up, we'll go ahead and stay home, or, well, there's a ball game, or there's something. God, help us to realize where our hearts are. And Lord, that these young people would give their heart to their parents and to you. And Father, that we as believers would truly give our hearts to you today. Help us to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? As the pianist begins to play, who has your heart? Who has your heart? Does he really have it? Do you have a heart for God? Is his likes your likes and his, what he hates, you hate? Or are we friends with the world and all the things in the world? That's more important than God. Would you come this morning? I see the altar always filled with young people, but it really burdens my heart that adults aren't tender. Who has your heart? You can fool me, you can fool about anybody. But do you have God's heart?